Welcome back, everyone, to Aspire to Lead, where we will be discussing the visions, inspirations, and experiences from top educational leaders. My name is Joshua Stamper, and you can connect with me on Twitter or on Instagram at Joshua_Stamper.
All right, Aspire leaders and Teach Better family, we are back again with the wonderful Canadian Brad Hughes. I know he's hopped up on maple syrup and ready to go this evening as we're bringing him to our monthly show. And Brad, thank you so much once again to allow me to spend some more time with you, buddy.
There is no thanks necessary. Actually, well, the thanks is mine, Josh. Any chance I get to interact with you and to not only talk shop, but also catch up on our family happenings and just what's going on with us in our life as educators, but also as members of families and communities. It's time well spent, and I really believe not only in this Aspire to Lead community, but I believe in the potential that you're bringing to so many people, whether it's through your writing or your leadership work with our Admin Mastermind. It's just a pleasure to connect with you, brother.
Yeah. For those who are interested in joining us every Tuesday morning, we have our Admin Mastermind. So I'm going to throw some banners up for those who are watching on YouTube. But yeah, join us every Tuesday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern time. And Mr. Brad Hughes, it is free. Free as charge. So you can go to teachbetter.com.
Right. Come on down.
See, you go to California, you go to Jeopardy, and now you're a game show host. I love it.
We were just comparing notes about our spring breaks, and our family had a wonderful opportunity in California, including a Jeopardy taping. So, you know, game shows are right up my alley. When I was a language teacher, Joshua, I used to structure my French and other lessons around game show formats. So if you need a game show vibe in any of your offerings, just hit me up.
Well, I feel like I got a taste of that at our Teach Better retreats, where we did lots of games and you emceed one of them, and man, you were on fire. So if you want to see Brad Hughes on fire too, sometimes he joins us for our mastermind, teachbetter.com/mastermind. Love this community. It's growing, and hope everyone that's listening signs up and joins us for those Mastermind Tuesday mornings.
Those Mastermind Tuesday mornings are just a wonderful way for school leaders and others that may be aspiring to school leadership. And just as a quick aside, anybody demonstrating leadership, it's rallying people to a cause, and it's aligning common actions and common values. So if that sounds like you, you know, the Admin Mastermind, Teach Better Admin Mastermind would be a wonderful addition to your professional learning, but also to growing your professional network.
Yeah. And I will say, Brad, that we've also added some guests. So we've got, let's see, Sarah Johnson joined us, Thomas Loney, Danny Bauer, Allison Apsey. So that's just a few names that have already joined the Mastermind. I'm not going to share who else will be joining, because I want those to sign up, because you're going to get an email to let you know when those are announced. But also the Facebook group that we've got, we announced in that space. But I'm excited about 2024, the wonderful network that we have. And, you know, Brad, you and I have been able to make some phenomenal relationships with educators all over the world, really. I was going to say country, but I mean, also folks in Canada. And, I've had folks in Europe and whatnot on the podcast. So love bringing folks in at variety of points of leadership, because as you know, there are so many different positions out there. And that's probably a good segue too, Brad, as far as our topic today, because I don't know if you realize this, I think you do, because you're in the position of a principal, is that it's hiring season.
I absolutely recognize that. And staffing and hiring is one of the key processes that school leaders reckon with year after year. And I tell all the staff that I work with that it's a very procedural process, but it's also highly personal. When you think about the blood, sweat, and tears that our educators devote to their teaching lives, to the kids and communities they serve, it can't help but be personal. So, you know, we're going to be talking tonight about how those who are in positions of aspiring to leadership might continue in that hiring search.
Yeah. So, Brad, I know both of us, you know, being with the Teach Better team, we get people that reach out all the time and ask advice, mentorship, coaching. And so, you know, we have a lot of conversations during this time. And even this morning during Admin Mastermind was about staffing specifically. And, you know, I know it can be a stressful point, but it also can be extremely exciting too, because I don't know about you, but I love doing team building. I love adding folks that have a variety of different skills to bring them in, especially if it's something that's lacking within the team. And so, you know, you always have those that are retiring. You always have those who are looking for promotions. And so today, you know, for our aspiring leaders, I'd love to pick your brain in regards to maybe some, you know, points of interest for you, maybe some success stories of like how you found yourself from teacher to getting to your admin role.
I'd love to dig into that. This afternoon, I had the opportunity to accompany a colleague for some job interviews for a long-term occasional position, and just the opportunity to interact with candidates with different backgrounds, with different skill sets, but also different areas to learn and to learn through practice. And my particular transition from teacher to assistant principal, or in my district called a vice principal, I was reflecting, it happened almost 14 years ago now, almost 14 years in a school leadership role after 16 years in a teaching role, Joshua. So by that time, I had built up experience in three divisions in our province, the primary, junior, and intermediate division. So that means I was both qualified to and had teaching experience in my case up to eighth grade, but was qualified to teach up to 10th. And so just amassing that teaching experience, growing through practice and interactions with not only kids of different ages, you know, kids as young as three, and in my case, kids as old as 11 turning 12, experience not only connecting with kids, but growing classroom communities with a variety of different ages and the different needs, and then interacting, most importantly, with colleagues that also, like me, had an interest in serving different age groups and different capacities and leadership. So it was that transition from teacher to assistant principal or to VP that, as I said, took place almost 14 years ago now. It's been a wonderful career decision and a wonderful career progression. And I felt at that time a natural career progression. You know, like you, I love community building. I love connecting and inspiring fellow educators to be and give and to be able to give their best to kids.
All right, Brad. So me and you love games. So maybe we can do a popcorn game here of maybe giving some advice for those who are listening that may be looking at this position. Maybe it's a dream job of theirs. They want to ascend to the next position up. And so, you know, thinking back within your leadership journey, was there something that you did, maybe it's formal or informal, that you felt was extremely beneficial to get you to that next position?
100%. The informal opportunities came from school leaders that I cherished, and I valued their opinion. I valued what they thought about my performance and contributions as an educator. But I was very fortunate to have school leaders that I cherished and trusted give me a tap and say, "Hey, Brad, as you continue in your professional life, I think you should give school leadership some consideration." And so that was one of the informal things that made a tremendous difference, was to know other people saw that potential. And then as I got to the stage where I was giving it full consideration, you know, not only professionally, but also personally with my family life, I took advantage of a formal opportunity in my district called Aspiring Leaders. And it's organized by experienced principals and superintendents and other senior admin to get people together that have an interest in school leadership in various capacities, whether it's at the elementary level or the high school level, and do some professional learning, learn about the job from the inside out, from the people that are actually in the role, a place to connect and commiserate with others that are in similar positions, both, you know, looking at the logistics of aspiring to the positions, but also the emotional lens about shifting from a teacher to a leadership role. Wonderful opportunities, and that program continues to make a difference to many in our district too. So what's coming to mind for you in terms of your transition and your continued work with those that are aspiring to lead?
Yeah. So I always talk about the fact that, you know, as an administrator, I always had teachers coming into my office and be like, "I want to become an administrator someday." And they were super excited. And then, you know, that was at the beginning of school year. And then as the school year went on, I'd never see him again. So, you know, for me, it's like, one, you got to be visible and you got to be active. Like, you need to get outside of the four walls that you're very comfortable in and get as much leadership experience as possible. I was just talking with Dr. Matthew Woods, and, you know, he's a podcaster, author. He just got a promotion to become a director, assistant superintendent. And, you know, he was talking about just how sometimes we look at these roles, maybe it's an athletic coach, or maybe it's the club organizer or, you know, some of these, what may seem like a smaller additional roles to a teacher, all of those do present opportunities for you to build as a leader. And so not to take those for granted and to try to gain as much experience as possible, because you never know what that additional role is going to serve as far as you organizing, but then also giving to your campus and to your district beyond what you're currently doing within your classroom. And I would agree with that. If I never decided to coach, I know for a fact I never would have got tapped on the shoulder by my assistant principal to say, hey, I think you should look at becoming a principal someday. And the reason for that conversation was because he saw that I was affecting the campus in a positive way, well beyond my own classroom. And so some folks may say, oh, I don't ever want to be a coach, but you don't have to be an athletics coach. There's so many other opportunities, NJHS or something like that. And, you know, I've served in all of those roles. You know, when, as soon as I got into my master's program, I wanted to learn as much as possible. And to do that, I started to, one, be present in the office all the time, asking, what can I please do to get some experience? But then in addition to that, it was like, how many roles will you give me so I can, you know, try to make that positive impact, but then also have leadership experience that hopefully will translate to when I get into that administrative process.
You know, a few threads were emerging as I consider our respective journeys. Is one is that I guess commitment to building community both inside our classrooms and outside the classrooms, however it serves the school. In my role, it certainly wasn't athletics. Although in my first teaching position, the headmaster of the school where I was applying said, you know, the acceptance of the position, Brad, is contingent upon you being the cross country running coach. I said, absolutely, I will absolutely do that.
Of course,
having had no running experience, a significant journey in my teaching career was going to purchase a brand new first pair of Saucony running shoes so I could both, if not look or feel the part. But my contributions were around languages and the arts, music and visual arts, as well as a number of different service clubs. And so there's going to be a different niche for each aspiring leader, for each educator to kind of find and fill. It really begins with leadership within your classroom. You know, can you grow and nurture successful learning communities? And second, can you help connect with other educators who are learning to grow their own communities? Can you grow together in that effort? Looking around your campus to see what opportunities there are to serve and to learn through practice, whether it's athletics, whether it's the arts, whether it's a school service. Maybe it has to do with communications. I mean, one way I got involved early with one of the school leaders that gave me that tap was developing and maintaining the school website, which at that time was new and a learning process for me and for all of us. But learning about school communications and learning how to put the school's best face forward to the community and how to use and leverage communication, whether it's websites or newsletters or whatever it is, to, you know, really share the great things happening within a school or within a campus or a district as well is another important aspect of school leadership. So I'd say, you know, find the opportunity to serve where you are. And if it lights you up, that you know you fit on something. You certainly want to serve where it's needed. But if it lights you up as well, Joshua, that authenticity is really what I discovered is the key to being confident and sort of settling in and being able to accept that mantle of leadership and doing it authentically, doing it. It's part of you rather than simply a role you play or an act that you put on.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. You can find out more at teachbetter.com/podcast. Now let's get back to the episode.
Yeah, I love that so much, Brad. And I would say that keep knocking on the door. If you don't knock on the door and ask for, you know, volunteering or to sit in a meeting or to learn something in regards to the admin. So like, for instance, my assistant principal, I agree with you, Brad, in the sense that, you know, you need to find mentorship. You need to find people that believe in what you're about, what you're going to do in the future, and are willing to give you those opportunities. And thank goodness I had someone in my corner to do that. But every time I knocked on the door, it wasn't a yes every time. It was very specific of, yes, you can shadow me, or yes, you can be a part of this meeting, or yes, you can build a master schedule with me. You know, like there were wonderful opportunities that were presented, but they would never be there unless I asked. And so I think some folks feel maybe like it's too grand of an ask, or, you know, maybe it's outside of my lane. You know, there's how will other people perceive me if I'm in this meeting. There's a lot of things that may come up, but I would just say that it's important to get past all of that because you have to understand that all of these opportunities that are provided are going to make you better. And that's the goal, right? Is to get these skills so that when you do get the opportunity, and I would like to talk about this next year, Brad, is like the interview process. Well, when you're in that interview, you're going to need to have things that you talk about that you've done yourself. And you're not going to get that by being in your classroom or not speaking up. I mean, you need to, again, be active and ask those questions of, may I please have this opportunity to do X, Y, and Z?
Well, what's that adage, Joshua? It's nothing ventured, nothing gained. Yeah. You got to shoot your shot and really ask yourself, what's the worst that can happen?
Right.
The worst that could happen is a school leader or a person in position to help you achieve your goals or to leverage your experience may say no, may say not yet, but actually may walk away and just need some time to think about. It's not a no, but think about how to leverage your experience and skills in a way that makes sense for the school community, even over and above what might actually make sense for you. Because as school leaders, we're doing everything we do is with the health and the benefit of the school community in mind. So it just may take some time. So I'd say keep asking. Be patient. And when it comes to approaching interviews, the more you know about the role and the more that you can speak to how your current experience would translate into school leadership, the better. So, you know, amassing and asking those questions, not just can I contribute, but how does this happen? Or, you know, can you uncover this process for me? Or I noticed that there appeared to be an issue, a problem, something that you worked through, you know, without breaking confidences. Can you let me know in general terms, how did you handle that? Scenario-based activities are wonderful, especially if you're preparing for interviews. And if you have the opportunity to work with mentors, whether it's through informal or formal mentoring, to figure out how that interview process is structured and what to expect. But, you know, ask those questions and really get into the mindset of school leadership and continue to ask yourself, is this the right role for me? And is it the right role at this time for me? So, I mean, just lots you can do. What's coming to mind for you in terms of preparing for an interview opportunity?
Oh my goodness. So I did mock interviews with those that were above me. So my admin staff, you know, I asked them for help. They definitely offered to do that. So we literally mocked it. So I came in, I dressed up, I sat down. They asked me questions that were asked of them. So my principal said that in the past, right after the interview, like literally interview got done, he would rush to his car. And at that time, phones weren't the same as they are now, but he would take a piece of paper and a pen and he would jot down every single question from that interview. And the reason he did that was because he wanted to reflect on that in the future. For instance, if he didn't get that role, then he would be able to he would understand like what the question was. And then he would also write down what his response was. Now it's sometimes hard because I don't know about you, Brad, but when you go through an interview, it feels like it goes super fast and half the time you don't remember what you even said. And so for myself, I really took that to heart. I felt like that was a really strong reflective practice. And so I did the exact same thing. But regardless, the mock interview was extremely important because after every response that I provided them, they would pause and then they would give me feedback on that was wonderful. You should make sure you say that in the interview process, or I don't like the way that you phrased that, or you didn't give any examples. They would really like break it down for me to understand what the best way to communicate what I wanted, because they knew what I did on the campus. They knew my viewpoints and how I was going to be as a leader. And they wanted to do right by me by making sure that I was sharing everything in the best way possible in that interview process.
Some of the most direct and valuable feedback I received came from a mock interview with two principals who they were prepared and wanted to prepare me not only for a successful interview, but for an authentic interview, Joshua. And what they revealed to me as I was beginning this mock interview was, in a nutshell, I was really answering in a way that I anticipated that they would want to hear. I was answering in a way that was, you know, trying to please those interviewing, and they stopped and said, what do you really mean? And like, what do you really mean when you say, we want to hear from you, Brad. They said, we don't want to hear what you think you want us to hear. We don't want you to read from sort of a pre-prepared script in your mind. Like, just really get in the moment and really dig into why you want to do this, what school leadership means to you, and just get, like, basically just get real with us, get authentic. And from there, kind of the dam broke open, because I felt freed, I felt supported, but also I felt challenged in a way that the sort of previous mock interviews hadn't yet allowed me to break through that kind of veneer of trying to anticipate what the interviewers would want to hear, and really recognize that it's the authenticity that a candidate can present to the team that can be a breakthrough moment.
Yeah, and you have to understand that they're doing many, many interviews. They know what to look for as far as nonverbals and your verbal responses. And, you know, there are certain things that are red flags that they hear or see. And so, you know, you do want to go through that process with someone that's been in those interview processes on both sides of the table to give you that valuable feedback. And I will say too, Brad, just as far as things not to do, one thing that I learned the hard way was, you know, when something was asked of me and I didn't have the experience of that, I mean, then I'm just going off the cuff and making stuff up about what I would do versus what I had done. And those responses are empty, and those who are around the table can see right through that.
You know, that reminds me of my first was an unsuccessful interview for an assistant principal position. I felt that I was well prepared. I received the advice to imagine myself in the role. And just as you said there, what turned out happening is I kind of took the committee on kind of a meandering, I would do this and I can imagine myself in the role without really being really present or seated. I can't think, like, really in the pocket of the role. And when I got that feedback from the superintendent, you know, he said, you know, Brad, you were this close, but we really want you to be prepared, and we want to feel confident that you're going to be prepared and be ready for the role. I really felt the authenticity in the interview team. I mean, the rejection was hard to take, but when I was successful to my second interview, the same superintendent was part of the interview team and remembered my response to that initial rejection. The original turndown was that I want to continue to accept the feedback. I want to focus on the learning. So being able to treat it as part of a process rather than a make or break situation, which is oh so human, very understandable to do, left that superintendent with the impression that I was a candidate to watch and that I was a candidate that was committed to growth and learning through the practice. But the more that you can say what you will do and draw on that experience and make those connections, recognizing if you're going for an AP position, you know, the interviewers know you have not yet been in that school leader's chair, but what they are looking for you to do is to demonstrate the qualities of leadership that are important to the district or that are required by your state or province, and make that connection between your current achievement as well as what that will look like in the role, and just be candid, but also be very positive about what you still have to learn.
Brad, you brought up a great point that in your first interview, you were denied the position. And that is part of the process. I just want to let everyone understand, like, especially in my role, I have gone through many, many interviews and I've heard no more than I've heard yes. And I don't think I'm alone in that, Brad. So, you know, for those who are going through the interview process, maybe they fumble something up in the interview, maybe they say something they didn't intend, or maybe they didn't communicate the correct way. And, you know, they hear the response that they did not get the role. What is some advice that you would provide them based on your own experience and having to kind of go through that process?
I want to start by saying that those that are aspiring to school leadership may be used to hearing yes a lot. And so when you hear a no, it may conflict with your expectations or aspirations. But for me, it was essential to position myself as a learner and to accept that feedback with humility and with an eagerness to listen, learn, understand, and a commitment to incorporate it going forward. That was key. The second is, before the interviews even take place, find out about what mechanisms for feedback you can expect. Even successful candidates will want to hear about areas where the interview team wants you to continue to grow and to dig in. And finally, just be ready to not only receive the feedback, but even if you can, schedule a time with a member of the interview team, if appropriate, or a mentor to review the feedback that you received. And then as you take a look, say, at the next school year, because our interview cycles typically were around April, May, Joshua. So then we'd be approaching the next school year. And so for my next cycle of instruction, not having been successful to the position, my opportunity was to review the feedback with my mentors and to see if the questions that we talked about at the start of this interview, now, how can I get involved? How can I get involved in the community in ways that allow me to grow through the feedback that I provided and still remain my authentic self as I do it?
All right. So I want to make sure I quote this right from Greg Moffitt. He is a part of the Aspire to Lead Voxer group. And he once said too that sometimes when you hear that no, that it feels very personal. And instead of thinking it in that way, that having the lens that it just wasn't the right fit, because a lot of times districts and campuses, you know, we talked about that team building, right? You don't, and I might equate this to basketball because I love basketball, but you don't want 5 point guards on the court, right? You don't want the exact same skills all represented within a team. And, you know, he made a great point of, you know, sometimes it is about who they believe is going to fit the needs of that campus or that district at that time. And sometimes it just doesn't work out. Even if you did have a very strong interview, there may be some other factors in that. And so, you know, for myself, I kind of went through the stages of grief, you know, and it tended to look like anger. So because it was personal to me, you know, I put my heart, my soul, and to hear, you know, someone say that I wasn't the right person for the job, I always felt like, no, you're incorrect, right? But I will say, you talked about the feedback, Brad. After the first time I went to become a dean of students, which is the role you need to be in prior to being an assistant principal in that district, my principal advocated like, this is wrong, I don't agree with it. And they reached out to the director that was in charge of the interviews and asked for feedback. And the director left a message. And I wrote about this in the book, Aspire to Lead. But I remember this very vividly. She asked, hey, do you want to listen to the message? It's about 5 minutes long. And I'm going to be honest with you, when you listen to it, it's going to be rough. I don't agree with everything the director said, but I think it'd be valuable for you to listen. Do you want to listen to it? And I just remember like sitting there with my hands over my face going, yes, let's go ahead and push play. And it was very rough because everything in regards to feedback, I didn't agree with, but I had to understand that that's the perception of the district at that point. And so I took that anger and pushed into how can I create a plan to change their minds? Because what was communicated within that interview, what they've heard, the research potentially they did on me wasn't correct. So, you know, I could either give up and not try to aspire to become an assistant principal or a principal someday, or I can then create a plan of action to change their minds. And thankfully, that's what I did.
Changing your attention and your energy from that feeling of disappointment, despair, disgust, mm-hmm. even with the process, changing that into how can I turn this information, and really it's information, it feels highly personal, but how can I turn this feedback, this information, into some impetus for growth or change? It could simply be, as you said, a mismatch for what the fit or the perceived fit is on the part of the hiring committee. And in my position, I was interviewing for leadership pools, Joshua, from which prospective leaders would be selected. In your case, you may be up against 4 or 5 other colleagues in that hiring pool, each with his or her own angle and his or her own experiences. And it may not have been anything that you could or should have done differently. It just may have been sort of a mismatch at that time. But I love that shift in your thinking to how, if what is missing is a real sense of my contributions, or I guess the question is what might be missing, what might I not yet have communicated to demonstrate my eagerness, my willingness, but also my capability to take on this position. So it just could be a communication mismatch with those you're speaking. And again, just taking the feedback and I think honoring those stages of grief and honoring those stages of frustration, bewilderment, confusion, despair, like just honor it, live with it, live through it, learn with it, and just take it and move it into some kind of action where you are, aspiring and you are inspiring yourself to grow through that experience.
That's awesome, Brad. I love having these conversations with you each month. For those who are listening, if you're going through the process, you need support, you need advice, some coaching, obviously Brad and myself are here for you. So, definitely reach out. For those who are on YouTube, you can see our handles there. Definitely DM us and reach out, or you can just type in our name at teachbetter.com. Those are our email addresses. So super simple. But we'd love to connect with you through this process. I know I've done that many, many times, Brad, too, with folks on the campus level or just with the Teach Better team, jumping on a Zoom and having those conversations.
This is why this network exists. It's to help each other through the trials, the tribulations, but also the celebrations of educating and school leadership. Both Joshua and I would be delighted to connect with you personally if we can help in your leadership journey or help to troubleshoot or problem solve any problem or practice you might be working through right now that's a barrier to you and your class or your faculty or your division taking that next important step forward. We are energized by your connections. We are energized and inspired by your questions, and we're eager to serve you better and better. What a wonderful conversation. And I always feel really privileged to be here in the Aspire Lead community, Josh.
Oh, it's my pleasure to have you, buddy. And for those who want to connect with Brad, head over to joshdeb.com. I'll have all of his links and social media. He's a good guy to have in your network. I'll just say that. So obviously to the masterminds, like I said, every Tuesday morning for support, you can go there at teachbetter.com/mastermind. It's free. You'll get an email with the Zoom link. And then, of course, if you're looking for a guide for those who are inspired leaders, obviously over my shoulder, I've got the Aspire Lead book also, which is hopefully a resource that can help you in your leadership journey. With that, Brad, is there anything you want to end on before we close our conversation?
I just want to thank you for your time and thank all of the Aspire Lead audience members for joining us, whether we're joining us audio or video, and just a shout out to you, Joshua, and to all authors who are sharing real stories of school leadership and just getting real about not only the challenges, but the real opportunities to be difference makers in your community is one of the hallmarks of school leadership. So I do hope that you'll take Joshua's invitation, pick up Aspire to Lead and become acquainted with others in the network that can help you in your journey.
Oh, I appreciate it, buddy.